So, how's General Motors doing?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The nation's biggest and arguably most financially strapped car maker unveils the balance sheet for its first full quarter out of bankruptcy. GM's earnings were delayed a couple of weeks while the automaker polished its bookkeeping. But wait, that sounds a little odd considering GM is starting with a clean slate. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
GM has promised for nearly a year to reinvent itself.
General Motors needs to start over in order to get stronger. Reinvention is the only way we can fix this. And fix it, we will.
Now, thanks to something auditors call fresh start accounting, GM gets to adjust its debts and assets in a way that can help a company just out of bankruptcy put a positive spin on its balance sheet. Analyst David Silver at Wall Street Strategies says it means GM can ignore past performance.
The old GM really isn't comparable to what we have today. They got rid of the majority of their debt. They got rid of their health care costs. So they're really a much healthier company than they were, say, this time last year.
Silver says today's report is a big step toward making GM attractive as a publicly traded company again. The Obama administration has made no secret of its desire to sell the government's 60% stake.
They gave a lot of money to General Motors, and they're really anxious to prove that it worked. That's why they're so anxious to really put the best face forward, to work to get this IPO and really get the taxpayers' money back.
That initial public offering could come later this year, according to GM and federal officials. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
You heard in Bob's report that GM has a clean slate, partly because it cut health care costs. The United Auto Workers Union has filed a new lawsuit against the automaker, saying it owes nearly $500 million for retiree health care. That involved its former parts division, Delphi. Let's check some numbers. Stocks in Europe are off ever so slightly at the moment. Asian shares closed higher today with expectations low global interest rates will continue to encourage a stronger economy. Japan's central bank kept its key rate unchanged, and the Nikkei tacked on a little. The Hang Seng added a lot, nearly 2%. Wall Street stayed close to where it began yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ added a few points each. The Dow fell 3 points to close at 10,969. And oil prices are at a near year-and-a-half high, 86 bucks a barrel. The new health care reform law requires a restaurant chain with 20 or more outlets to post the number of calories in each dish right on the menu. Surprisingly, coffee giant Starbucks lobbied lawmakers to pass that bill, and it did, thanks in part to lessons it learned when New York required nearly the same thing. Reporter Jill Barchet has more.
Margot Wu-Tan waged an 8-year war to get restaurants to list calories on the menu. She's the director of nutrition policy at the Center for Science in the Public Interest. She says the entire restaurant industry fought her every inch of the way. But after a year of counting calories on New York menus, things changed.
Because once restaurants had the experience of actually analyzing their menu items, posting it on their menu board, seeing how their customers reacted, I think they finally realized that the sky wasn't going to fall down, that they were going to still be able to do business.
Starbucks found posting calories might even be good for business. Philip Leslie is a Stanford economist. He studied more than 100 million Starbucks cash register receipts. He found some unexpected things about how customers view those creamy, gooey caramel macchiatos.
You're pleasantly surprised that the calories in the beverages are not as high as you thought they were. On the other hand, you're unpleasantly surprised that there are more calories in the bagel than you thought you were getting.
And Starbucks customers reacted accordingly. I bumped into Hillary clutching a soy latte outside a Starbucks on Lexington Avenue on the Upper East Side.
I've stuck to the same drink, but I've just cut out the treat that used to go along with my coffee.
Food sales are down at Starbucks, but the company's selling more coffee. Professor Leslie says Starbucks is even pulling in customers from the competition.
For the ones with the Dunkin' Donuts nearby, they actually experienced an increase in revenue by around about 3%.
But Starbucks says it isn't rushing to post its calories right away. The business benefits only percolate if everyone else has to post too. And the government isn't expected to put the law into effect until 2013. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, this week presenting the story of one man's journey to awakening, The Buddha, premiering tonight at 8, 7 Central, only on PBS. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market.
The European low-fare airline Ryanair is taking the idea of a no-frills flight to new heights. The Irish company's announced it'll charge passengers to use the restroom. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Ryanair first floated this plan a year ago, but then, under a hail of criticism, withdrew it. Now they've decided to revive the idea. Passengers on short flights of less than 1 hour will have to use a coin-operated toilet. The cost of admission, £1, the equivalent of about $1.50. The airline's head of communications is Stephen McNamara. He says the pay toilets won't raise much revenue themselves, but they will deter inconvenient behaviour.
The majority of passengers don't actually get up and move around the cabin during a one-hour flight, but there are a minority who do, and we want to try and change the behaviour of that minority so that they go to the toilet maybe before they get on the aircraft and they don't interrupt other passengers during the flight.
But he concedes the main point of reducing restroom use is the bottom line. The airline is planning to cut the number of onboard toilets to one. That should allow them to put in another row of seats. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Some more airport charges, this time from the police blotter. A couple of women in Britain tried to bring a corpse onto a plane. The motive's unclear, but yesterday the two sat a dead 91-year-old man in a wheelchair, threw a pair of sunglasses on him, and rolled him through Liverpool's John Lennon Airport. Security guards became suspicious. We can only guess why. The two women were arrested, and thankfully the airline didn't collect a fee for any of it. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.